Holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty, who art in heaven. O thy kingdom come, we pray. Thy will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. Father, we come into the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lamb, who is the risen Lamb of God, who is at your right hand. We come through his blood and in his righteousness. Humbly we come, but yet it tells us we can come boldly. We are thankful. I am thankful that I stand here today in your presence, redeemed and rescued and sealed with your Holy Spirit. Father, the words, the message you put upon my heart over these past weeks, help your servant, O Holy Spirit, to deliver your word and do no damage to it. If I say anything of the flesh, don't let any of the hearers remember it. But all that is, thus saith the Lord, I pray that you would anoint their ears to hear it and deal with each of us as you know the need for us in this hour. May your word accomplish its purpose. For we know that it says in your word that when your word goes forth, it will accomplish all that you want it to accomplish, and it will not come back void. Thanks be to God for your promises of your word. We offer you ourselves as living sacrifices this morning. Have your way with us, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I got that text from Pastor Jeff asking me to prayerfully consider to stand in before him. I don't take this as something light, but it's very serious to handle God's word. For I know that those of us who stand before others who will preach and teach have a stricter judgment. We need to pray for our pastor. Pray for those who preach and teach his holy word. I had several titles. And like I said, that trip, it was just so amazing. And even when was it? Early Saturday morning, 3 o'clock, I woke up. My wife asked me, what time did you get up? I said, I got up at 3. The Spirit was still speaking to me and changed the title of my message. What is my life? Ask yourself that. What is my life after being freed as a POW? Think about that. What is my life right now after being freed as a prisoner of war? Excuse me. My nose is... This was ringing through my ears that whole trip for those 2 days. And Saturday morning, it came to fruition here that I share with you. A good question that all of us as followers of Jesus Christ who profess faith in him should ask ourselves on a regular basis. What is my life as a liberated Christian, delivered from Satan, sin, and death that I am pursuing right now? A life that is walking and following Jesus in the Spirit, faithfully seeking to love and obey him, that denies self and bears fruit unto God? Or a life that is seeking to walk in the flesh, which cannot please God, and which cannot bear fruit unto righteousness, and will perish. There are only two choices, to walk in the flesh or spirit. I'm sorry, to walk in the flesh or to live in the spirit. I can't. To walk or live in the flesh or to walk and live in the spirit. Let me read to you a portion of scriptures in Romans 8 through 14. Let God's word clarify this for us. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Thus saith the word of God. Not Ed. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Do you know? Do you know that the spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, therefore, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit of God you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Thus saith the Word of God. I believe that the days that are ahead of us will even be much more difficult and challenging for those of us who are believers and followers of Jesus Christ. There will be thousands of voices, enticing voices, to fight to win your mind and your hearts. They will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. What door will you choose to enter and walk in that way? Will it be Christ the door? And walking in that narrow path which leads to life eternal with him? Or will the evil one carefully camouflage himself as an angel of light and entice you to enter the door and walk in the broad way which leads to destruction? To whose voices are you listening to? Which drummers are you following? I ask you, the voice you are listening to and the drummer you are following this day, are they in sync with the Word of God? It's vital. It's warfare. Do you have the discernment to know the voice of God? Or will the wolf in sheep's clothing be able to deceive you with his voice into living on the broad way that leads to destruction? Today we're going to look at the Epistle of James. And in particular, one verse. James 1:12, which is for believers. However, let me give you a brief outline of this short epistle. You can turn to James. I hear some pages. That's music to my ears. Make sure that what you're hearing is the very word of God. Paul commended the Bereans because after he spoke, they went and got out the scrolls and checked to see if what he was saying was, thus saith the Lord. James was confronting those in his day who were espousing a faith, that faith only saves and that works has no part in saving faith. And by teaching this, they were turning the grace of God into licentiousness, which is a license to sin, and deny our only Lord Jesus Christ. That same gospel, false gospel, is still being preached to this day. God's word has been under attack from the very beginning. There are those within the church who have added their leaven to God's word and who have taken things away from God's word. Listen to what Jude wrote in his short epistle. He said, Beloved, my whole concern, Jude, verses 3 and 4, My whole concern was to write to you regarding our common salvation. I found it necessary and was impelled by the Holy Spirit to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you. Wow, those are some powerful words. To contend for the faith, which was once for all handed to the saints, the faith which is the sum of Christian belief, which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, stealthily. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly persons who perverted the grace of God into licentiousness and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our only sole master and our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does God's word say about faith and good works? What does it say about Abraham's faith and good works in particular? In this same epistle of James in chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, and verse 24 and 26, I believe the Word of God clarifies this for us. Was not our forefather Abraham justified, made acceptable to God, by his works, when he brought to the altar as an offering his own son Isaac? You see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and his faith was completed and reached its supreme expression. I'm reading from my Greek Amplified Bible, so if you're following along King James or something, it might be a little bit, it probably is different. The Greek Amplified gives you the Greek meaning of words, and it expands the meaning of these words. Let me go back to where I was. You see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and his faith was completed and reached its supreme expression when he implemented his faith by his good works. You see, it's like a coin. A coin has two sides, doesn't it? Faith and good works. For it says in verse 24, you see then a man is justified, and that again, being made right before God, by works, and not faith only. I brought this to some who were teaching faith alone and works is, there's no works at all involved in salvation, and it's a works salvation. But I would bring them to these passages, and they would dance around these passages like you wouldn't believe. They would speak to me for a half an hour and make me forget what I asked them. You see, then a man is justified by works and not faith only. Faith is important. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You can't have one without the other. We're not saved by good works. I'm not saying that. We're saved unto good works. A dead faith is worse than no faith at all. A dead faith is what I call stillborn. Stillborn faith. Dead at birth. True faith is alive, it grows, it bears fruit of righteousness that is visible in a person's life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Brother Marcos quoted part of that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, born again, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. There must be fruit. Verbal faith alone is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. It is lacking. 2 Timothy 3:5 tells us what it's lacking. Having a form of godliness, but denying, yes, its power. The power that is within us, born again of the Spirit of God. True faith, saving faith, inspires our heart out of love into action to serve and obey our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout James's letter, he stresses the true faith will manifest itself in fruitful, listen, works of faith. Two sides of the coin, unto God. I'll give them to you here. There's 12 of them that I found. True faith endures trials and temptations, and through them develops endurance. True faith understands temptations. True faith listens and obeys to God's word. True faith removes partiality. True faith produces good works. True faith controls the tongue. True faith produces godly wisdom. True faith produces humility. True faith endures waiting and looking for our Lord's return. It's there in this epistle. Read it. True faith prays for those in need. True faith cares and confronts the erring brother or sister. Fruits of our faith. Good works. Our text, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. My Greek Bible says this, almost same, a little bit expanded here. Blessed, meaning happy. Happy is the man. Happy is the man who is patient under trial. That's hard. Under trial. And stands up under temptations. For when he has stood the test and been proved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Meditate on that scripture. I challenge each and every one of you. I write down verses a lot, and I've written this one down and gone over week after week after week until it's in my head and in my heart. I broke that verse into 4 points that I'll share with you. First point is, blessed is the man who endures trials and temptation. Point number 2, for when he has been proved. Point number 3, he will receive the crown of life. Point number 4, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Before I start with this text, let me lay a foundation of the Bible's plan of salvation. This was what was put upon my heart. I don't know all of the hearts and everyone here today, or maybe even if somebody listens to this on the web, but God the Holy Spirit does. And I don't want anyone leaving here today who may have a stillborn faith without hearing the true faith that is saving faith unto life eternal. The Apostle Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He was concerned when he stood before those. He didn't know the hearts of the people. If you read these epistles, you're going to see warning after warning after warning to the church. God knows the heart. He said this, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. I just gave you a whole list of them. People ask me along the way, how do you know you're a Christian? Why are you bearing fruit? Here they are. I call them birthmarks. Because if you're born again, these are the marks of a Christian growing as a baby as he matures by the power of the Spirit that dwells within them. Test and prove yourselves. Do you not yourself realize, there again that passage, and know, and I add in here, thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus is in you? Do you not know? Unless you are counterfeits. Ouch. 2 Corinthians 13:5, you'll find that. The Bible's message of salvation. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? I quoted this earlier to you about God's plan of salvation. He came up to Nicodemus and said, unless you're born again of water and even the Spirit, capital S, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus contrasts the two gates, the two ways a person walks on, but only one leads to life. You know this verse. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. It's easy. It's not marked it's going to hell. It's marked by the devil, who is a deceiver, saying it's going to heaven. You can do it on your own. You can have that. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. Life. And there are few who find it. Again, Jesus' own words in John's gospel. In the parable, I am the good shepherd. He said that he was the door that leads to eternal life. It says this, "Most truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come that they may have life." Life. True life. Eternal life. Rescued from this fallen world. Jesus tells Martha in the same Gospel of John in chapter 11 that he is the resurrection of and the life. "I am the resurrection, dead. Arise." The resurrection and the life. "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And another one, same gospel, he tells Thomas in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's only one way. Not what we're hearing today, and even in the church, many ways. I even hear it where they say that you can even be a Muslim and go to heaven. Not according to the Word of God. Thus saith the Word. Are you being deceived by a devil who clothes himself as an angel of light? There are many of them. Many antichrists are going to arise in the end times. Brothers and sisters, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, I'm concerned. That's why this message has been put on my heart. The Bible is very clear about salvation, the biblical salvation. There's only one gate, the narrow way, one door, one truth, one resurrection that leads to life, and it's Jesus Christ and Him alone. Have you entered through that narrow gate, the door, the truth, the resurrection, and are you walking on that narrow path of Christ with a broken and contrite heart of true repentance and faith and loving obedience? This is biblical salvation. Biblically, how is a sinful man or woman to be freed from being a POW and to be born again and enter that narrow gate, and to walk in the narrow way that leads to life eternal? The essence, do you understand? The essence, the substance of God's plan of salvation for Adam's fallen race. I'll share that with you here. One, no one seeks God's salvation on their own. Triune God. God the Father draws. John 6:44. And even in Romans, first let me share that with you. Romans 2:10-11. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Now, John 6:44. "No one is able to come to me," Jesus talking, it's him, "unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him a desire to come to me. And then I will raise him up in the last day." God the Father draws. Two, God the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin and the fear of God. And when he, God the Holy Spirit, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 16, 7 through 11. "And when he, God the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world and bring demonstration of it about its sin and about the righteousness and the judgment of God." And then in Proverbs 11:10, it says, "The reverent fear of God is the chief principle of wisdom." God the Father draws. I didn't know that at that time in my life when I was under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God was wooing me. Didn't know it. God the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction upon me, the sin and my reprobate life that I knew at a point, and I was even having a fear. I knew that if I died, I would go to hell. I knew it. I knew of Jesus. I went to Sunday school. It was the triune God working on me, drawing me, convicting me. God the Father, number three, grants repentance. I've been to places where repentance works. What? Come on. I don't understand. Repentance is work. God grants repentance. Turn from sin and to turn to Him. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And a servant of God must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Listen, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. I didn't do it. He did it. He put it on my heart to cry out, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. I want what you want. I even tried. I went back to the Catholic Church and started to do all their sacraments, thinking that I can earn God's favor. He let me do that to see that that's worthless. It's only Jesus. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and the truth will set us free, realizing their sin of unbelief and rebellion against the holy God, and that they may come to their senses, I love this, and escape the snare of the devil. I've been freed. Freed. I was a POW. And having been taken by captive by Him to do His will. Wow. God the Father draws. God the Holy Spirit convicts of our sin and of righteousness and judgments and brings a fear upon us of the judgment of God. And God the Father grants repentance. God does tell us in 2 Peter 3:9, He desires that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who preached repentance? John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, Paul. Don't tell me it's works. It's God working in us to turn us away from what way we used to live for Him. Four, God the Father's gift of faith to believe in God the Son's work of salvation. Oh, for God so loved the world, we know this, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father gives faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is all of God. I didn't deserve it. He graciously and mercifully drew me, convicted me, grants me the repentance and the faith. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. He gave me the faith to believe this, which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved. If you hold fast that word which was preached to you, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, He was buried, and that He rose the third day according to the Scriptures. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Another essence of God's salvation. You have God the Father drawing. You have God the Holy Spirit convicting of sin and of righteousness and judgment and the fear of God. You have God the Father who grants repentance. You have God the Father who gives you the faith. And you have God the Son who purchased our souls through His finished works. And now you have this. True saving faith is always accompanied by loving obedience of good works to our new Master. Always. Don't tell me that I'm working out my salvation. I'm doing what God has called me. For we are God's. Listen, this is a verse they always leave out. They always quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but they don't quote 10. So what did I say? The fifth essence that it's always accompanied by loving obedience. Loving obedience. It says in 10, Ephesians 2, 10, for we are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined for us to do, that we should walk in them. Wow. Loving obedience. Jesus said in His one of the Gospels, I'll give you the John 14, 15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in 1 John 5, 3, it says here, John the Apostle writes, for the true love of God is this, that we do his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Wow. This is the essence of biblical salvation. Nowhere in the whole Bible have I ever read of the modernistic, evangelical, false gospel message that I have heard so much in the church in our day that says, just believe and accept Jesus and he will come into your life. Where's the conviction of sin? Where is repentance? What did he save you from? It's not there. This message, it's not in the Bible. It's not biblical. In the modern times that we live, there are many opinions about God and salvation as there are people who give those opinions. Do you know the truth? Listen to this. I've heard this long ago. Quote, what you win a person with, the message, you will win them to. You understand that? If you're sharing the false message, you're going to win them to it. If you win them to the true message by the grace and mercy of God and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they'll be soldiers, soldiers of the cross. If you haven't come through the narrow gate being convicted and broken of your sin and unbelief and rebellion against the holy God and repenting, desiring to turn away from your sin and to turn to God, crying out to him, what do I do? As the jailer said, what do I do? God gives us faith then. Believe in the good news of his grace and mercy, his love, and in his only begotten son's death, burial, and resurrection for your sins and are continuing being steadfast on the narrow and difficult way in faithfully loving and obeying God, being a soldier of the cross. If you haven't come in that way, then you haven't come through the true door. This is the true message of salvation that I see in the Bible. And I urge anyone here, as the writer in Hebrews said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your voice or your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. That was my introduction. But I think it was vital. That is the true message of salvation biblically. Now to our text, James 1 through 12, which is given to those who are soldiers of the cross, followers of Jesus Christ. Remember my question that I posed to you in the beginning as being followers of Christ. What is my life after being freed as a POW? What am I pursuing right now? Our verse, James 1, verse 12. Point number one. Blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations. Let me expound on that through the word of God, not my words. Thus saith the Lord. Blessed, blessed. Think of this. Blessed is this man. We're to be happy about these going through trials and temptations. Why? Blessed, listen to this. Blessed, happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You'll see, if you become more acquainted with the Word of God, when you enter these times, you will see that there are times, what the purpose of these. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. There's a purpose. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Oh, once every Sunday? No. He meditates day and night. How important is the Word of God to us? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth, there again, its fruit. in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper, even in the times of the trials and the temptations spiritually. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this also in regards to blessed is the man who endures these temptations and trials. Listen, this is a promise of God. No trial or temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. It's common. But God is faithful, hallelujah, who will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you are able. Claim this promise when you are facing those trials, when you're facing those temptations. God is faithful to his word. But with the trial or the temptation will also make the way of escape. Hallelujah. I love it. That you may be able to bear it. He bears it for us. We just have to trust him and yield and surrender to him. Though now, this is in 1 Peter now, chapter 1. Though now for a little while, what I've done is I've taken the word of God. As I looked at this, as the Spirit showed me this scripture, I see the importance of happy is a man who's, we don't walk in the counsel of the godly or stand in the path of sinners. You know that scripture. And no trial or temptation can overtake us, but what is common to man, you know, God will always give a way out for us to endure it. And then it says, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials and temptations, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. That is the faith that God gives us. It's a gift. And he tries it. He tries it by fire to get rid of the dross, as Pastor Jeff talked about. And that faith is like a muscle. If you want to be a weightlifter, what do you have to do to increase the muscles? It has to be tried with the weights to build the muscle up. Our faith is to be built up for the next time. Trials and temptations will come, brothers and sisters, to test and to prove the condition of the soil of your heart. Remember, there is only four conditions of the soil. Pastors preached on this. Luke 8:11-15. Do you remember what he said? He said the first soil was the wayside. You know what the wayside is? That's a path where everybody walks, and that ground is packed. And when that seed, the word of God, falls on there, there's no way it penetrates. It's taken away by the enemy. The second soil is the stony soil. The stony soil, there's hardly any dirt there. And when the seed falls in there, it has no place for it to root. It says it receives it joyfully for a short time, and then it withers away. Stillborn. Stillborn. The third soil is the thorny soil. So you have the wayside, the stony, and the thorny soil. That's where the seed falls and takes root in the soil, but there's thorns in there, and the thorns choke it. The cares of this world and the things of this world causes it not to be fruitful. God desires us to bear fruit. But the seed that falls in that fertile soil will spring up, and it bears fruit 30, 60, 90, 100 fold unto the glory of God. What's the condition of your heart? What soil condition? Point number two. And point number one, it was blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations. Point number two is, for when he has been tried, when he has been proved. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is not uncommon to those in the Bible. God brings and allows trials and temptations to prove and to test our faith and our love and our obedience for him. There's a myriad of examples. I'm just going to read a couple of these to you. I have these listed here. I have Job. I have Abraham. I have Joseph. I have David. I have the nation of Israel and others. We're familiar with Job. Listen to what it says about Job. We're familiar with what happened. God allowed Satan to test him. What did he first do? He took away all of his riches. Second, all his children were taken from him. And third, God allowed the enemy to inflict him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with boils. Wow. Wow. Out of all that I've read in the Bible, I think Job was tested, from what I can tell, far greater than any others. Listen to what it says about him. And he, Job, this is chapter 2, verse 8, and he took for himself a potsherd. What that is a broken piece of pottery. Remember, he had these boils and he scratching himself. Potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes in pain inflicted. Then his wife came to him and said, no pity here. Do you still hold to your integrity? Do you still hold to your integrity? Do you still trust your God? Look at your life. Do you? Ed, do you? Yeah, you're going through these trials. She said to him, curse God and die. But Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Listen to this. The Spirit brings me to this when I start to complain. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? Wow. There's a reason. Again, God doesn't do anything out of happenstance. And in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. The nation Israel, Psalm 66. It's here. Psalm 66, verses 1 through 12. Says this. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. What is he talking about there? When he delivered the nation Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And they went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our souls among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have proved us. There it is. You have proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and we went through water. Listen, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. God had a purpose. What about Joseph when he was sold by his brothers into bondage and he was in prison and the things that happened to him? What did he say to his brothers? He said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Point number one, blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations. Point number two, for when he has been tried, he will receive the crown of life. Listen to what it says in the Word of God. He will receive the crown of life. What awaits us? Behold, the devil is indeed about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and proved. Be faithful unto death, even if some of you die for your faith. How many around the world that we know of that Pastor Jeff shared with us, brothers and sisters? That song, that's why I like that one song, A Soldier. Should I go to heaven on a bed of ease? why others have shed their blood. Wow. It's a war, brothers and sisters. Are we involved in it? Are we soldiers? Let me go back to this. Be faithful unto death, even if some of you die for your faith, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2, 10 and 11. That's why this other song was so dear to me that the team shared with us. For me, listen, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Meditate on that short passage. For me to live is Christ. There's so much in there. And to die is gain. In death there is life, brothers and sisters. You die to self, we have the life of Christ within us and the promise of the crown of life. Your choice. And then what Paul wrote as we think about this. For I consider that the sufferings, the trials of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. Listen, brothers and sisters, the devil's going to want us to turn back and go back to the mud and the mire because it's too difficult. He doesn't want you to think of the crown of life or those things that await us. And it says this in Romans 8, 17, 18, who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we will be sharing in his glory and his kingdom of heaven forever. Wow. You will receive the crown of life. Blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations, for when he has been proved, there is that time, that period. We sang in that other song that they led us in. Where is it? Oh, yeah. This is the place you chose for me. This is the time you gave to me. Do you know what it says in Acts, what it says about God in chapter 17? It says that God has predetermined my boundaries and my time. Think about that. He has us here in a strategic time for a purpose, in this place for a purpose. His will, not my will. Point number four. So, blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, point number four, which the Lord has promised. Promised. God is faithful to all of his word and all of his promise to those who love him. Now look at that phrase. Is his promise there unconditional or conditional? Do you know what I mean by that? What is that? Is that promise based on anything? Or is it just unconditional? Well, if you haven't figured it out, it's conditional. What's it based on? To those who love him. To those who love him. One of the essence of true salvation is that we will seek to love and obey him and follow him. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our tabernacle with him. John 14, 23. And it says here in Hebrews, listen to this. This is a powerful passage. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he, Jesus, referring to Jesus, was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Think of it. The trials, the temptations, and ultimately the death on the cross. And having been perfected, completed his work, basically, he became the author and source of eternal life to those who obey him. You see it? Just like faith and works, you can't separate them. They're synonymous. So is love and obedience. It's a coin. Love and obedience. You understand? He is the author and the source of eternal life to all those who love and obey him. And it says, this is the testimony of God's faithfulness, speaking of his promises. This is found in 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 13. And this is the testimony God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has His Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know. There again, there it is again. Do you not know that you are the temples of the living God? That you may know you already have life. Yes, eternal life. It's His promise. He's promised. Don't let the devil try to trick you. You understand this passage. Meditate on this passage this afternoon. I challenge you. Blessed is the man who endures trials and temptations, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. In closing, God the Father delivered and freed us, if you're a child of God, who were POWs. We were held captive to Satan and sin and death and ultimately destruction of our souls. But God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, caused us to be born again with His Holy Spirit and to commission us to be soldiers of the cross. Not spectators, but to be soldiers of the cross, ambassadors, messengers of reconciliation to those who are still bound as a POW, held captive to Satan and sin and death and finally destruction of their eternal souls. I have, you have, many family members who don't know Christ. They are POWs. I need to look at them in the light of this message, in the light of what God says and what He's called me to do. He says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, Matthew 28:18-20. If anyone desires to come after me, you heard Pastor preaching on this just the other day, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Luke 9:23. There is a cost, but the rewards at the end outweigh what we give up here. You therefore must endure, listen, hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. We need to ask ourselves, what is my life after being freed as a POW? I'm living out my life as a child of God, surrendering my will to God's will, and walking by the Spirit of God in faithful, loving obedience as a soldier of the cross in good times and in difficult times, trials and temptations, and being His witness to take His good news to others and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I add this too as well. Am I reading and listening to God's voice through His word, being faithful as a doer of His word? And can I differentiate between thus saith the Lord and thus saith the Lord that's been mixed with a little leaven? It's vital, brothers and sisters. There is a war for the souls of man. Yes, we have been delivered. Yes, we have, by the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ. And now we are called into service. Our commander calls us. Are we going to be faithful and loving and obedient to the call? And not only to him, but to those that we know who are POWs. Bow with me in prayer. Oh, Father. Oh, Lord God. I believe your word has gone forth. We pray, Father, that it would accomplish its purpose in our hearts. Even as James wrote, that we would not only just be the hearers of your word, but that we would be doers of the word. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, we cry out to you. Empower us. Empower us. Grant us the compassion that Christ had for the lost. Grant us the boldness and the strength and the courage to be unashamed of the gospel. And lead us as we go forth from this place to be soldiers of the cross, to be beacons of light, that as we cross the path of those that we meet along the way, that we would be compelled by you, O Holy Spirit, and that we would listen, and that you would give us the words to share with those who are bound as prisoners of war, that they might be delivered out of the darkness into your light, O Lord Jesus, for your glory. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.